Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click Promote and publicize your congregation to the world.
All right, it's time to hear from you. The Issues Etc. comment line is always open 24-7, 618-223-8384. We're going to spend the last part of this hour listening to some comments from our listeners. 618-223-8384, 24-7 for your questions, your comments, your compliments, your criticism, your suggestions. That's what it's for, 618-223-8384. And as usual, when we listen to our comments, we like to begin with Issues Etc.'s own Paul Harvey.
This is Harry of Arlington Heights with an account of chaos to cosmos. In fact, by the Second Advent, the account will have been repeated with chaos to cosmos twice. While with some standard dictionaries and also some synonym-antonym dictionaries dance around the point, your deep probe of the two words chaos and cosmos will reveal that they are antonyms to one another. Cosmos means not only the universe, but any complete organized system. That same system, fully disorganized, equates to chaos. When in Genesis 1:2, the KJV uses void and the NIV uses empty, it does not mean the absence of materiality, but the absence of any differentiated, identifiable aggregation of material. Thus, without form in the KJV and formless in the NIV. At that point, God put the second law of thermodynamics into reverse for 6 days in a process we call creation. For 2 days, God organized what had been at maximum entropy so that there was light, darkness, and land separated by sea. On the third day, God added life to the inert in plants. And the sun and moon on the fourth day, life was added to animals on the fifth day, and to man on the sixth day. For those 6 days, there was a cosmic increase in order on every side and throughout the universe. God said it was very good and rested. Chaos to cosmos was complete, and not only was everything in the Garden of Eden perfect, but so also was the universe beyond. Then sin entered the world and triggered a reinstitution of the second law of thermodynamics, not for Adam alone, but for all mankind, nor for the earth alone, for it is the whole creation that yet groans, as reported in Romans 8:22. The fall was not an incidental local event, but a cataclysmic phenomenon that has ever since had a lasting impact on the furthest star in the furthest galaxy. God is still in control and has made selected amendments to what we view as natural order by what we call miracles, ranging from the plagues of Egypt to the body of his son not seeing corruption and Jesus being resurrected from the dead. Aside from such occasional divine intervention, Peter is quick to follow the destruction by fire in verse 12 with the promise of a new heaven and a new earth in verse 13. During the silent gap between those two verses, God again puts the second law of thermodynamics in reverse, with the next creation cycle that will remain for eternity. It may take 6 days, or 6 nanoseconds, or less, or more, but it will be complete with a new heaven, a new earth, lions, lambs, and all who believe in his son. At that point, chaos to cosmos will have been completed twice. Thank you.
Smartest listeners in radio. That's from the listener comment line. That's not the host of a radio program. That's from the listener comment line. Smartest listeners in radio. Maybe great minds think alike. I was recently thinking about this myself, how if we're honest as Christians, we need to look at something as fundamental as the second law of thermodynamics and say that doesn't belong in this universe. That's not the way God originally created this universe. He did not create the universe to run down, to wind down, and to slow down. He created it with a life that he endued it with. And thanks be to God that in a world that is, for the time being, dominated and ruled by death, that's just another word for the second law of thermodynamics, death, one man entered this creation ruled by death, and he didn't play by death's rules. He didn't obey the laws of death. This is why he's able to do those miracles and reverse the effects of death, literally refers to the effects of death, and this is why he can spend 3 days dead in a tomb, seeing no decay, and walk out alive after 3 days. Did Jesus really die? Yes, but only because he willingly submitted in his death to the laws of death that ruled over all mankind from Adam's sin on. Why? So that he might taste death for each and every one of us and give us that life that never ends. Smartest listeners in radio, you can call the Issues Etc. comment line anytime this weekend, 618-223-8384, 618-223-8384. More of your comments from the Issues Etc. comment line when we come back. June 30th marks the one-year anniversary of the return of Issues Etc., and we'd like to celebrate this milestone with you. You're invited to an open house at the studio and office of Lutheran Public Radio beginning Tuesday afternoon at 4 on June the 30th. Food, friendship, and fun. RSVP to Craig at issuesetc.org. We hope to see you here in Collinsville, Illinois on Tuesday, June the 30th. RSVP to Craig at issuesetc.org.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. 24/7? Check out our website, issuesetc.org, and click on-demand audio. Listen at the gym, in your kitchen, in your garden, on your iPod, your computer, or in your car. The technology may be new, but the truth never changes. Issues Etc. on-demand audio, available for your convenience at issuesetc.org. 10 hours of new programming each week, issuesetc.org. And click on-demand audio.
Faithful confession trumps company loyalty. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks for sending us your email. Having produced Issues Etc. for more than 15 years, I can tell you that we've never received email response like this. Unfortunately, we simply can't reply to all of your email. So here's a way that I can almost guarantee a response to your question or comment. Call the Issues Etc. comment line. 618-223-8384. It's available for your questions or comments 24/7. 618-223-8384.
We're going to launch an online version of the Issues Etc. Journal on June the 1st, and you can subscribe by sending your name and email address to journal@issuesetc.org. Do Christians make progress in their good works? I've written an article for the new online journal titled Sheep Don't Keep Track. You'll also find an article detailing Pastor George Borghardt's journey from Catholicism to Lutheranism. Get your copy of the Issues Etc. Journal by sending your name and email address to journal@issuesetc.org. We're listening to some listener comments from the Issues Etc. comment line. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Friday afternoon, May the 29th. That's what we'll do for the next 10 minutes of the program. During the break, we had a caller who couldn't stay on the line asking the question, what about creation ex nihilo, that is, creation out of nothing? How does that fit with what Harry in Arlington Heights had to say on the comment line before the break? Well, it's a very good question. let's remember that when God created everything, it's not that nothing existed before God. Nothing that we know of in this universe existed, but God did exist. So we say God created all that is out of nothing. But God certainly creates from himself. That is, he is the one who gives substance, who gives light, who gives energy, who gives all the things into this universe. We could talk about God creating out of, creating from himself. He is the creator. He's the source, if you will. Does that mean that this universe is divine? No. But what it means is that God did pre-exist this universe. And if he wants to take nothing and make something out of it, that's fine and good. Because after all, he's the one who sets the rules and the standards for this world. Now, in this world ruled by sin, nothing ever comes from nothing. But when you're talking about God, who is not bound by the rules of his creation, except as he bound himself in his incarnate Son, God can bring all sorts of things out of nothing. And he creates the rules for his universe. Next, a comment about in vitro fertilization.
Hi. I made a comment just on the in vitro fertilization and the problems. I personally have a big issue with us trying to create life ourselves, which cannot be conceived naturally. There are thousands of children in every state that do not have parents. There are thousands of children that have been beaten and abused and are now abandoned by their parents. I personally believe that we should be worrying about them, about the ones that need us most, rather than creating life because we want children of our own, when God has not made that very easy for us to do. I personally am someone who honestly has a lot of internal problems and probably will be lucky to have one child. So I understand why people would want to have in vitro fertilization, but I really think we need to let God be God and let him do the work. And if we can't have children, then we need to accept that and look at other options. I believe that adopting is more meaningful, and even fostering a child is more meaningful than wanting to have a child myself and conceiving it myself. I think there's just so many better options that do not cause extra eggs and, you know, fertilized embryos to be wasted. I think this is just something we should really not play around with. I don't think that that's really a wise thing to do. And I understand many people will disagree with me, and I'm not saying that, you know, anybody's bad for doing this, because I do have family members that have had in vitro and I love the children, but I really do think that we should just take a step back and look at this from maybe a different perspective. Thank you for your time. Bye-bye.
Okay, this is where we got to be careful. There are two different ways of approaching this that are both wrong. One is, well, if God hadn't meant us to fly, he would have given us wings. So if God had wanted a couple to conceive, he would have made it possible for them to conceive. Not in each and every case. The other end of the spectrum is, well, if God didn't want us to do in vitro fertilization, he wouldn't have given us the technology and the wisdom and the knowledge to be able to do it, so it must be okay. Both of those extremes are wrong. What's in between? What's in between is using the means that God has given us to overcome certain obstacles to conception without violating our Creator's will. God creates the life. No children are conceived apart from God's allowance, God's purpose, and God's creation. Procreation isn't our business, it's God's business. So, if we have a technology that permits us to conceive children over against the barriers that seem natural to us in this world, if we have that technology, it needs to be used in accordance with God's will. What is one of the ways that in vitro is used that is not in accordance with God's will? Create as many embryos as you possibly can, implant them all, or freeze some and implant many, cull the herd, all of those things that are happening in the name of in vitro fertilization and overcoming infertility that are clearly in violation of God's will. But does that mean, because the technology is abused, that there isn't a right way to use it? Remember, we do not say, if God didn't want us to do it, he wouldn't have given us the technology, nor do we say, well, if God had wanted us to fly, he would have given us wings. We find a way of using that technology responsibly, ethically, to serve our neighbor. It's very clear what God doesn't want us to do: destroy innocent human life, disregard innocent human life, or turn human life into a commodity. And if we can find a way of doing in vitro fertilization that doesn't do that, then I think we found the way of threading the needle between those two extremes. Here's Joe in St. Louis.
Hi, Todd. Can I follow up on the piece you played from Harry again? It sounded to me as though Harry was saying that there was chaotic matter, but the matter existed, and that God turned it into cosmic matter through the spoken word. And that's different from how I would understand the ex nihilo creation, where God spoke the matter into existence from nothing, the same as, and please correct me if I'm wrong, that Luther would talk about God, in essence, creating the Christian out of nothing, or by the spoken word, the same as creation was done.
Well, stay on the line. I think you have misunderstood Harry. I don't know if Harry made himself as clear as he could on this point. I think Harry affirms a creation out of nothing, but what he's talking about is not in the beginning God created the heavens of the earth, but verse 2, once all the stuff is in place, and this is the way creation is depicted to us, the earth is there without form and void, darkness is over the face of the deep. There's no distinction between darkness and light. There's no distinction between land and sea, between the above and the below. It's just a chaotic mass, if you will.
Okay, so the matter existed in a chaotic form, and God spoke it into he spoke it into existence, but then put it in cosmic order,
right,
his spoken word as well.
Exactly. He spoke it into existence when it did not exist before, because Scripture quite clearly teaches that God made all the things that are out of things that aren't, which is a way of saying out of nothing. So this is one of the things that's Hebrews chapter 11 or 12, if I'm not mistaken. But the way that the creation is depicted for us in Genesis chapters 1 and 2 is God bringing order out of disorder and separating things. So he separates light from dark, land from sea, the above from the below, and then he begins to populate this ordered creation that he has put together. And
okay, could you then kind of correlate this with Luther talking about ex nihilo and the Christian, or the creation of the Christian? Or am I misunderstanding that too? I don't want to misunderstand that, but can you correlate that then? I mean, obviously we as Christians have spiritually chaotic matter, or do we even have the spiritual matter at all?
Well, it's an analogy, Joe, that Luther made that I think is a good analogy, but it does not, you never press an analogy beyond what it can bear. So what is Luther saying? Just as God made everything that is out of things that aren't, out of nothing, so he creates the Christian, that is, saving faith, out of something that isn't there to begin with. He brings it to the party himself and works it himself in a place where there is no faith. But I don't think Luther would take the analogy any farther than that. He wouldn't say, well, God spoke the matter into existence and then brought it into order. He wouldn't say God created this with some sort of a chaotic spiritual capability that simply needs to be ordered in a Godward direction. I don't think Luther would ever say that. He'd say, when it comes to faith, before God arrives and does his work through the Holy Spirit and his word, there's nothing there. There's no faith. There isn't nascent faith. There isn't chaotic faith. There isn't spiritual potential. There's nothing but enmity for God. And God does not allow man's cool and callous hatred of him to stand in the way of him creating friendship and faith where none existed. And this, the other image that Scripture paints for us is of death, that is, no life, and resurrection. You were dead in your trespasses and sins, but God brought you to life in Jesus Christ. So I don't think you're misunderstanding Luther's analogy. I just think we can't press the analogy any farther than it goes. You know what's coming up at the end of this month? Believe it or not, the one-year anniversary of Issues Etc. coming back to the air. I find it hard to believe that I've been sitting in this chair and behind this microphone for 1 year. Actually, I haven't spent all that year behind this microphone, but it's a time to celebrate. And we're ready to celebrate here at Issues Etc. In fact, here at LPR Studios in Collinsville, Illinois, on June the 30th, that's a Tuesday, starting at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, we're going to invite you to come out, not only to watch the show being done on the one-year anniversary, but also to join us for some food and friendship and fun after the show here at LPR Studios. Now, if you want to attend, you have to RSVP, craig@issuesetc.org. craig@issuesetc.org. When you go to church this weekend, invite your fellow parishioners to tune in next week to Issues Etc. We'll start that daily series on the Ten Commandments. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk to you again next week. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.